When driving, you hit potholes and endless traffic. Riding the metro means adjusting your life around 24/7 track work. And now we hear about risks to the water system. They're all pieces of our crumbling capital. WTOP's Max Smith is taking a look at how we got here and where we're going. We begin with Metro.
There will have to become a day of reckoning as to what happened here.
With billions spent in just the most recent part of Metro's 40-year history, following a deadly 2009 Red Line crash, and little to show the public for it on the rails, before a train filled with smoke near L'Enfant Plaza 2 years ago next month, exposing faulty work and continually ignored safety threats.
Carol Glover died on the floor of a Metro car after a 5-year period of fixing this place. And that's an unacceptable end.
D.C. Councilmember Jack Evans chairs the Metro Board. Nearly half of Metro's track inspection department was just disciplined for faking inspection reports. Radio transmissions are getting better, but still don't always go through. And there can be regional tugs of war over things like Evans' call for billions more funding.
We're not even close to fixing this thing.
And the recent vote to cut hours starting next summer, with a promise of more maintenance and inspection.
When you have ties crumbling underneath you.
General Manager Paul Wiedefeld said in a round-the-clock work zone this summer, just before a train derailed a few hundred feet away for that very reason.
This has been pushed off as long as it can be pushed off.
Wiedefeld hopes if Metro actually runs on schedule with fewer smoke incidents, railcar problems, and other delays, riders will come back.
We get more frustrated when we say we're going to do something and we can't deliver.
He's proposed longer waits for trains and higher fares.
This is a death spiral. We don't agree with it.
Jackie Jeter leads Metro's largest union and says Metro's still lacking a long-promised safety culture. Federal oversight has shown at least some workers don't know what they're doing.
And we've done this over and over again. We've looked at operations. We've found people that don't know what speed limits are.
Federal Railroad Administration Chief Safety Officer Bob Laube is a federal appointee to the Metro Board and says oversight can only do so much.
They can call the balls and strikes. They can tell you if you're safe or you're out. But the people on the field have to play the game.
There's been a culture here over decades that has evolved. And I'm not going to turn it around in months.
But Wiedefeld hopes he can in years.
We have a system that we're not very proud of, and I think that's a disgrace.
Max Smith, WTOP News.
Tomorrow in Crumbling Capital, a look at our crumbling roads and bridges. And you can read much more at WTOP.com. Are our aging highways trying to tell us something? They're certainly leaving plenty of hints, things like closed lanes, flat tires, and cracked windshields. Here's Dave Dildine with part two of our series, Crumbling Capital.
Cracking, corroding, and flat out coming undone.
A huge chunk of concrete from a 495 overpass fell right onto a woman's cart.
A bridge crumbling to pieces in early 2015.
I'm standing on Suitland Road underneath the Beltway. And you look up and you can see where crews sprayed an epoxy and then added planking underneath these bridges. Quick fixes, but far from the needed replacement.
When something does become considered structurally deficient, we do start a design process rather quickly.
Charlie Gishler with the Maryland State Highway Administration says deficient doesn't mean dangerous despite dilapidation.
The lion's share of structurally deficient bridges are simply the road surface that goes on top, the bridge deck.
In 2015, the Federal Highway Administration logged 306 deficient bridges in Maryland and over 1,000 in Virginia. In the district, 10. One getting a lot of press.
The Arlington Memorial Bridge. And this morning, local leaders will take a look at the crumbling structure.
What it needs is a major rehabilitation, not quick fixes.
Harry Amidala, a bridge engineer, grades D.C.'s bridges for the American Society of Civil Engineers.
Over the years, deferred maintenance has definitely taken its toll on the structure.
When funding is tight, deferred maintenance usually follows. Seeking more federal grant money, the National Park Service needs to come up with $250 million just for this bridge alone.
We've requested another $60 million grant.
Jenny Anselmo Sarles with the Park Service on a budget stretched thin.
Every year the National Park Service spends several hundred thousand dollars in the Washington metro area simply on patching potholes.
Tires pounding on a pothole. They count down to the invariable result of wear, tear, and disrepair on the roads around our, at times, crumbling capital. Dave Dildine, WTOP News.
Tomorrow, we'll take a closer look at our vulnerable water supply, and you can read much more at WTOP.com. This week, we've been looking at our crumbling capital on the rails and roads. This morning, WTOP's Neil Augenstein looks at a now antiquated water distribution system that could put our area's drinking water supply at risk.
Every time there's a major storm, raw sewage pours into the Anacostia and Potomac rivers. That's just the way D.C.'s sewer system was developed before 1900. To deal with the problem, D.C. Water is building a series of tunnels with dams inside them to keep what's flowing through the sewers from ending up in the Anacostia and Potomac. But there's a potentially bigger problem for the area's main source of drinking water.
We only have about 24 to 48 hours of water supply available should the Potomac River become unavailable to us.
Tom Jacobus of the Washington Aqueduct. The Potomac is the only water source for D.C., Arlington, and Falls Church, and the main source for WSSC and Fairfax water customers. That means if there were a major spill in the Potomac that forced plants to shut their water intakes, there's only enough stored water for 1 or 2 days. And none of the water companies could help each other.
The current situation is that there is no interconnection among the 6 large water treatment plants in this area.
The threat from accidental spills has been there for years.
If a rail car overturned, dumped product into the river, for instance at Harper's Ferry, and that came down the river, there are pipelines under the river. If one of those oil pipelines were to be damaged, and before it could be shut off, it could put a significant amount of oil into the river.
Now add the risk of someone targeting the Potomac River.
The water utilities have worked very diligently to look at vulnerability assessments. However, there certainly is the feasibility that you could be denied through some terrorist activity your treatment facilities or the river.
Jacobus says the local water utilities are looking into the possibility of a shared reservoir that could provide water if the Potomac River were unavailable as a water source for several days. On the Potomac, Neil Augenstein, WTOP News.
You can read much more about our crumbling rails and roads at WTOP.com. Yesterday, we told you a major spill in the Potomac River could cripple the water supply, and the region would have only 1 or 2 days of clean drinking water available. Now, in the next piece of our series, Crumbling Capital, WTOP's Neil Augenstein has details on a possible solution.
This is the Trevilla Quarry in Rockville. Crushed stone that came out of here was used to build the ICC and widen I-270. But local water companies believe this quarry could be turned into a reservoir, a much-needed backup if the Potomac River were unavailable as a water source because of a major spill.
It's very large. If it were filled with water right now, it would have about 8 billion gallons of water.
Tom Jacobus of the Washington Aqueduct.
So that you could produce water for about 14 days. And we believe that's a reasonable amount of time that whatever the event was that made the river unavailable to us could be cleaned up, and then we could get back to the river.
WTLP has learned testing has already been done to see if the Trevilla Quarry had any minerals that would make it unsuitable as a water storage reservoir.
The indications are that there is nothing that would prevent us from using that. It does seem promising.
But the company that owns this quarry says Trevilla still has 60 years of life left. Both sides seem open to finding a creative solution. Jacobus said the very expensive goal would be to drill tunnels so water could be pumped from the Potomac into the quarry and stored. When needed, it could then be fed to the Washington Aqueduct, WSSC, and Fairfax Water Treatment Plants.
It is an opportunity to give a degree of independence and resilience that we currently don't have.
Especially important in the nation's capital, long considered a potential target for terrorism.
Having interconnections among the water utilities in the region and having water stored off the Potomac would be an extraordinarily valuable asset that would contribute measurably to the security of the region and all of the activities which are vital to the nation's well-being.
In Rockville, Neil Augenstein, WTOP News.
You can read all of the week's reports at WTOP.com.